Track 16, the second Past Lives feature, is The Chaplain and the Cannibal. John Wright recounts the gruesome story of the Norfolk clergyman and magistrate who emigrated to Tasmania.
A fun-loving clergyman he must have seemed to the rich and powerful he socialised with, but to those in Tasmania he was sent to manage, he was no fun at all. Reverend Robert Bobby Knopwood was born on the 2nd of June 1763 in Threxton near Wotton, where his family is still remembered in Threxton Church. His grandfather, also Robert, was a rich farmer and High Sheriff of Norwich in 1751, whose son, yet another Robert, at 36 in 1772, when son Bobby was 8, would die leaving debts totalling £10,000. Part of the huge family estate worth £18,000, that's £2.9 million in today's money, was sold to pay the creditors when Bobby inherited Threxton Hall, aged 23. He went to grammar schools at Wyndham at 11 and Bury St Edmunds at 15 and became an unlikely priest at Norwich Cathedral, since he was known more for the company he kept with the loose-living Prince of Wales. Marjorie Tipping wrote in Convicts Unbound and Drinking at the King's Head, an inn where Mother Dillywater and her lovely fair crew reigned. He had a child with Hannah Cook and a Where I Dine, I Sleep approach to life, and loved organising dances and festivities. And in 1803, he migrated to Australia on the Calcutta with its load of convict passengers. Knopwood was Tasmania's first chaplain and magistrate, so he could both sentence someone to hang and administer their last rites. His 30-year diary records dreadful floggings of convicts for comparatively trifling offences without indignation, according to the Dictionary of Australian Biography. Inevitable clashes with Aborigines, who needed land to hunt, were similarly fierce. He wrote, "The natives have been very troublesome for a long time." And when, in 1804, according to the Australian Museum, colonists were authorised to shoot 50 Aborigines at a risen cove in Hobart after they resisted, he simply reported hearing cannon fire. Yet one of his servants, convict John Gain, was discharged for ill-treating his dogs, Tipping wrote. Knopwood enjoyed eating well with the colony's natural survivors, like convicted embezzler Andrew Whitehead and William Stocker, who got one of the earliest pardons and ended up with 555 acres of land, a butcher's shop and a pub. Many faced starvation in the settlement's earliest days. England was a six-month sea voyage away, and occasional shipments of cattle and sheep sent from Sydney were pilfered by convicts. Once, sentencing a man to 500 lashes for stealing a goat, Knopwood organised hunting and fishing trips and coped with food shortages very well. For dinner on September the 3rd, 1804, his diary reports that he and his 9 guests had fish, kangaroo soup, roast kid, roast kangaroo, 2 fowls pellued with rice and bacon, pig, stewed duck, kangaroo pie, plum pudding, vegetables, wine sauce, gravy, boiled rice, stewed mushrooms, salad and bread sauce. As for his church responsibilities, Geoffrey Steezens wrote in Knopwood, a biography, that he was known to abandon church services if attendances were poor, the heat was oppressive, or if he was suffering from a hangover. Apart from those he flogged or hanged, Knopwood was quite popular, one historian saying, "The small community enjoyed the ramblings of the red-faced parson." His diary showed genuine sadness in 1815 at having to cancel a St Patrick's Day race meeting on account of so many bushrangers being in the woods. But one of Knopwood's serious blunders was releasing the man they called the Man-Eater of Macquarie Harbour. An American book said he lured fellow convicts to his lair in the woods, where he would eat them. Tasmania's Cornwall Chronicle in 1850 claimed that he used to be a pieman. The Hobart Town Courier in 1854, writing that Pierce was imprisoned for selling unwholesome meat made into pies. The story had many embellishments, but was any of it true? Irishman Alexander Pierce, aged 30, was transported in 1820 for stealing shoes and escaped with six other convicts in 1822 from a high-security island prison at Sarah Island on Tasmania's isolated west coast. They would have to make their way up and down mountains, through rainforests with misty rain falling the whole time, force their way through dense scrub and across wild rivers. They were lost almost immediately. They carried only a few days' worth of stolen food. Aborigines knew how to survive here, but not these men. It was Pierce who got all the infamy, not because he escaped successfully, but because in the end, he was the one who, after several months in the bush with all the others, was seen to walk out alone. Their food ran out after a week. They tried boiling the leaves of certain trees to extract the juice. It made them sick. They started eating wild berries in their kangaroo jackets, which they roasted, James Bunwick wrote, in the Bushrangers. But it didn't fill them for long. Dan Sprod quoted Pierce in Alexander Pierce of Macquarie Harbour as saying, "Kennelly said he was so hungry that he could eat a piece of a man." Another of the men, Robert Greenhill, had introduced the subject, saying he had seen the like done before and that it tasted very like pork. From Pierce's own account, as dictated and written down to Knopwood and now residing in the National Library of Australia, the eight men decided to cast lots and Thomas Bodenham lost. Later, when he slept, Greenhill killed him by giving him a severe blow in the head, then taking his knife, began to cut the body into pieces. They put the body on the fire to cook. John Mather was next. He wrestled the axe away from Greenhill and got the others to agree not to let him have it any more. But they lied. Then it was Irishman Matthew Travers's turn. He'd been bitten by a snake and was slowing them down. "Each of us took as much of the body of Travers as we could carry," Pierce said. Ironically, one day they heard voices, a big group of Aborigines. But instead of befriending them, they scared them away and ate the kangaroo flesh, snakes and possums they left behind. Then Greenhill tried to kill Pierce in his sleep, but Pierce was pretending and later killed Greenhill with the axe when he nodded off. Pierce later said, "I cut off part of his thigh and arms, which I took with me until I'd ate it all." And then there were three. Alexander Dalton and William Kennelly ran off, and eventually Alexander Pierce found his way back to civilization. When he said what he'd done to stay alive, Robert Knotwood didn't believe him. He assumed he was lying to protect the others who were still at large, so instead of hanging him, he sent him back to Macquarie Harbour, where Pierce escaped again with another convict, Thomas Cox, who had begged to go with him. Clearly, Tom hadn't heard the gossip. A week later, Pierce gave himself up. No thanks to Robert Knopwood, but even this time, there would not have been any evidence to hang Pierce if, despite still carrying some of the food they'd stolen, it wasn't for bits of Thomas Cox they found in his pocket.